You've been listening to the Breath of Life radio broadcast, a ministry of Maranatha Seventh-day Adventist Church, located at 4615 South MacArthur Drive. That's the corner of MacArthur Drive and Willow Glen Street in Alexandria. You are cordially invited to worship with us each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Sabbath school and 10 a.m. for divine worship. Prayer meetings are held each Tuesday at 7 p.m. Maranatha continues to offer to our listeners free of charge Bible study lessons in a colorful and easy to understand format. A beautiful certificate is issued upon completion. The Extreme Praise Ministries is also sponsored by Maranatha. It is a community-based youth ministry of approximately 75 area youth. Its ministries include skits, puppetry, mimes, drama interpretation, praise dancing, and more. To request Extreme Praise Ministries for bookings at your church, family reunion, street ministry, or other events, or to request free Bible study lessons, please phone us at 448-4059 or toll free at 800-779-1787. Send comments or questions to P.O. Box 5502, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Thank you for listening to the Breath of Life broadcast. See you at Maranatha next Sabbath.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Y'all ready? Amen. Glory to God. In Galatians chapter 5, let's look at verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then he gives you 19 things that he identified as things that would be characterized as the lust of the flesh. And that's not an all-inclusive list. Amen. He just highlights some of them because, you know, hatred ain't in there. Right? Hatred not in that list right there. We know that's a work of the flesh. There's other things that's not even listed there. Paul said, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul said, it's these things here, 19 of them, and things just like these. I just found out what I'm not supposed to pass my time doing. That word walk means to conduct yourself. It means how you conduct yourself or how you pass your time. It's how you conduct yourself in the affairs of life. He said, walk in the Spirit. So if I'm walking in the Spirit, there's going to be some manifestations in my life of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith or faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. There's 9 of them that are listed there. You know, 3 is the number of perfection, so what you have here is perfection times perfection. Glory to God. This is how God wants you to live. Actually, verse 22 is a description of the character of Christ. Amen. And the fruit is different from the gifts. There's also 9 gifts of the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, those are manifestation of God's power and demonstrations of the Spirit. But these are things here that are in you. Amen. These are things that make up who you are as a believer. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, temperance. So if I'm going to walk in the Spirit, then I have to be intimately acquainted with what each one of these here means to me in my life. Amen. My life should be a manifestation of what's here in verse 22 right here. You know, my life ought to be characterized by love. Every time you see me, I shouldn't be down in the dumps. If I'm walking in the Spirit, guess what's going to be manifested? Joy, right? Every time you see me, I shouldn't be filled with anxiety. Now, that don't mean I won't have some good days or some bad days where things just ain't going right and I'm struggling with some things. But that ought not be the predominant personality trait, that every time you see me, I'm down. Every time you see me, I'm bitter. Every time you see me, I'm talking about somebody. Every time you see me, you know, I have no patience. Every time you see me, I'm lifted up in pride. Talking about me. That should not be the dominant characteristic in my life. Amen? And I know sometimes in this journey here, we're not always in the Spirit. We're not always walking in the Spirit. We're not always being led by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes our flesh is on the throne. How many of y'all know what flesh is on the throne mean? Huh? I remember one morning I was praying, and boy, I tell you, the presence of God came on me. When the presence of God began to be manifested in your life, it will make you aware of your situation and your condition. But it's not a condemnation type thing. It's God making you aware of who you are without Him. Amen. But there's a reconciliation, and God saying, you know, I love you, and I bless you, and confess this, and get rid of this here. This is sinful. Don't do this. Let go of this attitude. Let go of this idea right here. Stop doing that. So actually, I come into fellowship with the Lord. Amen? And I said, Lord, I said, more of me has to die. And when I got in the presence of God, guess what I saw? I saw too much of me. When you get in the presence of God, who you ought to be seeing? You ought to be seeing Jesus. Right? He should be the predominant. If you get in the presence of God and all you can see is you, that means too much of you is a lie. So the more we die to our own desire, our own ambition, our own sinful habits and lifestyle, the more Jesus will be seen in our lives. Now, I don't mean you got to kill yourself physically. I'm talking about these ungodly desires and these ungodly lifestyles and these ungodly habits sometimes that we refuse to let go of. That's you. That ain't the Holy Ghost. And those things, you have to allow them to die. In other words, you have to let them pass from your life. The Bible says, count yourself to be dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I want to teach or give a message one day on dead and alive. Want it dead and alive. God wants you dead and alive. You ever thought about that? There's part of you got to die, and there's part of you that's got to live. Amen? And sometimes as believers, we get mixed up. We don't know which part's supposed to die and which part's supposed to live. And sometimes we let the wrong thing live. And we suppress the thing that's supposed to be the blessing, right? But that's why we have the Word of God, so we can discern what it is we're supposed to let pass from our life. You know, the Bible says if you're a new creature in Christ, old things do what? There's some things just got to die. They got to pass away. You got to bury them. You got to have a funeral and say, that's dead and gone. You got to let it pass away. Behold, all things are what? Become new. So you got to always be reaching out for that fresh anointing, that fresh revelation, that fresh presence of the Lord. You can't ever get to a point where you're satisfied with the status quo. Amen? I believe probably in your life, some of you got to die too. You probably need more of you to die. Too much of you alive. You say, why don't I see more Jesus, more manifestations of Jesus in my life? Too much of you alive. So the more we die to our own desire, our own ambition, our own sinful habits and lifestyle, the more Jesus will be seen in our lives. The brighter the light's going to get. Amen? When your heart is saying, I want his will, not my own. And sometimes it's not easy for flesh to die. Even when you know it's the will of God. How many of y'all ever held on to something you knew wasn't the will of God and you held on anyhow? Ain't nobody going to show their hand, all right? Maybe I'm preaching to people walking right down the street out there. They're riding around their car. Maybe I need to go preach to them. Y'all stop some vehicles out there and tell them I got a message for them. No. No. Jesus had a fight with his flesh. When it came right down to it, how many of you know he had perfect knowledge of God's will? He knew the cross was the will of God. But when it came right down to him finna lay it down, what happened? Lord, if there's any way, is there any other way, Lord, I can do this? Because, you know, when flesh died, that means some pain is involved. That means some heartache, some ridicule, some persecution. It's, you know, it's painful for your flesh to die. And Jesus knew that there was a cross waiting him. But, you know, at the end of it all, the Bible says that he could see beyond the cross. And he could see victory on the other side. And he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. What happened? He let his own desire pass away. And he held on to the will of God. What he knew was the will of his Father. Amen? Now, you say, how does all this tie into joy? Well, we're going to be talking about joy this morning. Amen? Because joy is an attribute of God that you have to have working in your life at all times. I'm amazed at how many times that you can actually get into a gathering of believers, now people that believe in the Lord, and joy is not present. Seem to be an absence of joy. Church ought to be the most joyous place on Sunday morning, right? Shouldn't be the basketball game. People in there high-fiving one another. You go to an NBA basketball game on Sunday afternoon, they in there, they cutting up. Some people ain't got no shirt on. They done rolled all over their body. You know, they're running, they're screaming, they're hollering, you know, they announce somebody and they say, you know, at 6'5", averaging 22 points, 12 rebounds, you know, from the LSU. And all the fans get up. That's our boy. And I say, Jesus is here. Glory to God. He's alive. Anybody say? Can't even hear the clap. Just like that movie I saw one time about David and Goliath. When Goliath was getting ready to go to that fight, they had a drum corps behind it. Boom, 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 boom. I mean, they coming, boy. You know, he getting ready for a rumble. You can hear it in the drums. You know, like man, he finna get down. They getting down. And then when they show David come with one drummer boy. Tink, 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 tink. I say, if you look in the natural, you say, man, I know who's gonna win, man. It's the one's got all the noise. They ready. They fired up. So, I mean, joy is something that we all got to learn how to walk in and maintain because joy is contagious. When you're happy and you got the joy of the Lord working in you, it actually draws people. I don't believe Jesus walked around like you see him in some of these movies here never smiling. How can he not smile when he's been in the presence of God? Huh? How can you not smile and you know the will of God? You already know what's going to happen before it even happened. You know, Jesus wasn't one of these little stoic guys that's just full of piety. You're like, you know, just serious all the time. I don't believe that kind of person attract all the multitudes like he did. I believe that they had fun around him. I believe that he's serious about what he was doing. We know that. But I just don't believe that he was somebody that had no expression. Bible says God sits in the heavens and laughs. Now, see, that's a new concept for some people. You just can't even imagine God laughing. Well, who created laughter in the first place? All right, the devil didn't give us laughter, right? So laughter is an expression that God gave to us that come from him. So God must laugh. He must smile. Amen? Amen. How many of y'all can smile? All right, well, where'd that come from? God gave that to us as an emotion that God gave us to express delight and joy, amen. Comfort, victory. Amen. Amen. I mean, when somebody wins, what do they do? Me and Gabriel was watching something on ESPN the other day. They was playing back USC and Texas. And at the end of that thing, they showed when that final horn went off, because that guy scored right at the end. I mean, it was just seconds left in the game when the quarterback scored a touchdown that won the game. And you could see, and they made an announcement, they said, all the Texas players flooded onto the field with their hands raised up. And you could see all the guys from USC with their head down, walking slowly to the dressing room. No expression of joy at all. So it wasn't very hard to tell. If you had never even went to the game, if you had just been there when the clock went off, you could tell who won. Right? You could look at the fans and tell. The ones with that orange and white, high-fiving one another. You know, throwing stuff, pulling their shirt off, running, screaming. People at USC just... We should've. We could've. We might've. See? You got to decide which camp you're going to be in. As a believer, you can always be on there. We should've. We could've. We might've. That ain't the camp you're supposed to be in. You were born into a royal family. Amen? And one of the major manifestations of God's kingdom is joy. Everybody say, joy is a major manifestation of God's kingdom. Now, I'm going to show it to you here in the Bible. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you scriptures on it. Let me, first of all, let me find what joy is. Joy is an emotion evoked by well-being, success, victory, or good fortune, or the hope of possessing what one desires. That's what joy is. It means to experience great pleasure and delight. That's joy. Joy is also described as loud expressions of happiness, delight, as in a battle cry. So when you got joy, people around you know you got joy. Amen. Amen. Even when you're silent, joy can be seen in your countenance. Amen. Amen. Hey, how many of you know you can see fear in people's countenance? How many of you know you can see worry in people's countenance? But you know you can also see joy. You know, the joy of the Lord can be reflected on your facial features, even in how you walk. People that have been defeated or having a rough time, it even affects how they posture. You just walk around like this. Head hung down, shoulders drooped, walking real slow. Somebody with victory, shoulders back, head up. Confidence, not cockiness. It's a difference. If you got the joy, it's going to show. It's going to come through. Now, let me give you these attributes of joy right here. Joy is an attribute of the life of God. It is supernatural, and it is of the kingdom of God. Joy comes from God. I'm talking about real joy comes from the Lord. Joy is a part of our inheritance as believers, belongs to children of God. Joy is a spiritual force that destroys mourning, weeping, sorrow of heart, depression, fear, anxiety, and hopelessness. Do you know that when the joy of the Lord is, when you are walking in the joy of the Lord, that it will actually do warfare for you? That joy will actually rise up and will actually begin to wage warfare against fear, anxiety, depression, loneliness, hopelessness. I'm going to tell you, joy is a fighter. Joy will whip all that stuff. That's the reason why God gave it to us. Amen? We're going to see. I'm going to give you some scriptures on it. Joy is a manifestation of God's strength in your life and his presence. Everybody say, joy is a manifestation of God's presence and his strength in my life. Joy is a manifestation of God's presence and his strength in your life. Amen. If you're walking in the joy of the Lord, that means the Lord's presence. You can see the presence of the Lord there. Amen. Joy is necessary for maintaining a conqueror's attitude in life. Joy is the result or the product of being able to see beyond your natural circumstances. Now, let me show you what I mean by that. Let's just say you got trouble. Let's just say you got a bill you can't pay. You don't know. You're going to get put out your house or something. Or they're going to come up and take your car from you. That's what your circumstances tell you. You don't have enough money to do it. But if you get over in the faith and see that God said he'll meet all of your need, then you can see beyond the circumstances of that and know that everything's going to be all right. And you can still have joy in the midst of that. You say, well, your joy because they take your car? No. Joy because you know that you have a relationship with God, and somehow, some way, you might not even know how. Somehow, some way, you know God is going to work this thing out in good for your good and for your favor. Amen. Amen. The Bible says that all things work together for good to those that do what? That love God, that are called according to His purpose. That means when you love God and when you're walking in obedience, you can know that everything will work together for your good. Amen. Doesn't work together for good for everybody. Didn't say that. Said it works together for good to those that love God. And those that love God are those that are obeying God. When you obey God, all of your circumstances will work together for your good. Amen. 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 How many of y'all ever had a chance to doubt God and you just maintain your joy and God came through? As I look back on my life, I've had many challenges in my life, but it was the joy of the Lord that sustained me and kept me from giving up. You know, you'll give up without joy because hopelessness will take over. Fear will come on you and make you think that, boy, I'm gonna tell you, God ain't gonna help you. Well, that's a lie. God will help you. Joy is the result of the product of being able to see beyond your natural circumstances and trials and the ability to see what God has provided. Joy is found in the presence of God. Joy comes from the Father God. Joy comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Joy comes from the Holy Ghost. All three of them are one together, and they all manifest joy in your life. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Amen? Now, we're going to look at some scriptures. Let's look at some scriptures right here. Turn to Nehemiah 8:10. And while you're going there, let me say this here. There was a deposit of joy made in your life when you were born again. See, when you were born again, when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, God put a heavenly package in your spirit. He plugged it in. I don't know how He did it. I'm just trying to just give you something to describe it. All I know is that the life of God came in you. When Jesus came in, He brought a package. Let's call it a redemption package. That redemption package came in you. It's in you. The love of God. Romans 5:5 says that the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost who's been given to us. So the love's already there. The joy is there. The patience is there. The long-suffering is there. The goodness is there. The self-control is there. Do you know before I got saved, I didn't have any self-control or very little? Then all of a sudden, when I got saved, I could say no to sin. Where'd that power come from? I didn't have it before. When I was tempted before, it just like the devil had a ring in my nose. I mean, he just led me around wherever he wanted me to go. And I was doing things I didn't even want to do. Wanted to stop and couldn't stop. But when I got saved, when the devil said, come on, Greg, let's go, I said, no, I ain't doing that. No, I ain't got to do that. I don't want to do that. That don't please God. Where'd all that come from? There's a heavenly deposit that's made in your life when you got saved. It's in you. You might not know what it is. In fact, I taught one time on a Wednesday night. There's like 35 things that happened to you when you got saved. And that ain't the whole list. And you'd hear me say a lot of times, one of the first things happened to me when I got saved. Then next time you'll hear me say that, and I tell you something different. Then next time you hear me say that, I say, one of the first things happened to me when I got saved was this. They say, now how can all that be the first thing happen to you? Because they all happen at the same time. They happen all at the same time. I became aware of them at different stages, at different times, that I realized that God had put something in me that was not there before. Amen. Amen? Amen? Joy is one of those things that God made a deposit in you when you got saved. He gave it to you because you're one of His children. You say, well, I don't understand why this is going to be beneficial. It is. Because there's a lot of people depressed. There's a lot of people oppressed. There's a lot of people that have fear in their life. There's a lot of people that are hopeless. They don't know what they're going to do. They are confused in life. And it's because they're not allowing the joy of the Lord to have its way in them. Maybe you're in that situation today, but you're not going to stay that way. Amen. Now let's look at the scriptures right here. Nehemiah 8:10 says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Everybody say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, what happened if you're not walking in joy? You done lost a major portion of your strength. What happens when you get in a fight? What's the first thing that go? Joy. When you're getting ready to get in a fight, if you got a worthy opponent, there's some anxiety that can creep in that you might not be able to whoop him. Right? I mean, you know, your circumstances talk to you. Right? You run into a problem, circumstances say, I don't know how you're going to make it. You ain't going to be able to make this one out. This ain't going to go good. This is bad. And you know what? The first thing that wants to leave, that the enemy wants to strip you of, is the word of God and then the joy of the Lord. Because he knows that if he can take your joy, see, the only reason why you have joy is because you have vision. Right? Because you can see something that can't be seen. That produces joy. Right? I see it. I've never seen Jesus, but I can see him. That don't make sense, huh? I can see him, but I ain't never seen him. Right? I can hear his voice, but he ain't never really talked to me in the natural. Right? He can lead me, but I ain't never been able to really follow him in the natural. But still, he leads me. So joy is a manifestation that you got vision, that you can see something nobody else can see, and that creates joy, even though your circumstances may be saying something different. I remember a time, let me give you this illustration. I remember a time I got put on a project, and then my boss's boss walked in one day and said, Greg, we need to do this job for under $2 million. So I said, we got a problem here. And I told him, I said, this job going to cost about $2.5 million. He said, can't do it. You got to get under $2 million. I said, you can't do it for under $2 million. He said, how do you know? I said, my experience as a project manager for 14 years tell me that this job can't be done for $2 million. So I cut all the contingency money out. Y'all know what contingency money is? Contingency money is uh-oh money. It's money that you put in a project that you don't have accounted. It's not accounted for. It's to take care of the uh-ohs that you missed, right? It's just like a woman that if I give Celeste $500 to go shopping and I give her an extra $100 and say, now look, this money here, all I want you to spend is $500. But if you get in a bind and you got to have something else, you got an extra $100 here. All right? Now, that really don't work with wives. So, men, don't try this. You give them uh-oh money, it's uh-oh. It's gone. Uh-oh money, it's gone money. Well, I just had to have it. Yeah, all right. Okay. But in the business world, that ain't your money to spend. You had to justify it. You got this much money to spend, here's your uh-oh money. And so I cut all the uh-oh money out. It's gone. So anyway, make a long story short, and I told the man, I said, look, it's going to take a miracle, a stream of miracles, for us to do this job for this amount of money. All right, well, one night I'm worried about this because, you know, my integrity, and I've always had a good job performance record. So I'm sitting on the edge of the bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. Celeste was sleeping. I'm sitting there like this here, just shaking my head. And she woke up and she said, Greg, what's the matter? I said, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. It's bad. She said, what? I said, it's bad. I'm telling you, it's bad. This is bad.